Blog Talk Radio.
Stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Well, good evening, world. I'd like to welcome you to the Stop Child Abuse Now Talk Radio Show, sponsored by NASCA, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Penelope Bennett, and I'm from Bellevue, Washington. With me on my host team this evening is Tamika Chambers. She is an ambassador for NASCA. She is from Tillamook, Oregon. So thank you, Tamika, for being on my host team this evening. I also have, I've got my dream team panel right now, although if anybody joined, you'd be my dream team panel. I also have John Anderson, who's a NASCA ambassador from Louisiana and also a NASCA talk show host, as well as Annie Margis, a NASCA family member and a NASCA talk show co-host as well with us this evening. And tonight is Monday, November 29th, 2021. This is scan number, which stands for Stop Child Abuse Now, scan number 2801. And it is a special show we're having this evening. So we have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Cindy Taylor. She's from Point Vedra Beach, Florida. And before we tell you a little bit more about Cindy, I wanted to talk to you about NASCA and NASCA's mission. Before I do that, I would encourage anybody that is streaming in that may be intrigued about calling into the show and being a panel member, highly encourage you to do so. There's no experience necessary, and my co-host Tamika will take care of you and meet you on the back line. You just have to call in to the following number. It's area code 646-595-2118. Again, that number is area code 646-595-2118. And as a panel member, you will have an opportunity to interact on the show and ask a special guest a question or pose a comment that is related to their story. So I encourage you to call in, even if you've never called in before. Let's tell you a little bit more about NASCA before we begin the show, because as you know, NASCA is all about child abuse, trauma prevention, intervention, recovery. We have a single purpose at NASCA, and it's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, and we do so with two goals. The first, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And the second goal, offering hope and healing through so many different paths, such as these talk shows, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for literally anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention and recovery. So I'll repeat the number to call in one more time. It's area code 646-595-2118. If you're interested in learning more about NASCA, I would encourage you to visit our website. It's www.nasca, which is NASCA.org. So without further ado, it is special guest night. We are still awaiting our special guest. So So while we're waiting for our special guest, Cindy Taylor, I'm actually going to open up everybody's mic because at times when we wait, what we like to do is bring up a topic to discuss in an open panel forum, which is related to the many issues involving intervention, prevention, recovery from child abuse for adult survivors. So I want to just open up the lines. I didn't know Tamika, Annie, and John, and good evening, by the way. Any of you had anything that you was on your mind that you wanted to bring up for topic discussion tonight?
Ashley,
well,
I do. Anyone else too? So go ahead. Who's that?
It's Tamika. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Ashley, I don't know if any of y'all saw the news today or got wind of it. I know that Darlene had put it on, and I just learned of it today. But there were two guys that were arrested, okay, dating back from an incident back in March that they had raped a six-year-old girl, okay, and left her with STIs, and there was a mother involved. And where the mother is, I have no idea. I tried to look on further information, but it's all over the news. I mean, this is two 33-year-old guys, 33 and 28, I believe. Okay, and the mother was involved through a hotel kind of thing set up, you know, and that was to be, you know, sold basically. Now they posted the two guys all over Facebook. It's all over the news and everything else, but I don't see anything about the mother. You know, I mean, have y'all even heard of such a thing of that young being that, you know, that is just unbelievably horror, you know, in my eyes. So I just wanted to see if y'all had any thoughts about that situation because of the fact that I don't think there's enough information there yet to you know, it's just so much to say. I mean, my God, you know?
Well, so that is one topic idea, by the way, to talk about more current events and awareness and exposure to the issue of child
right.
abuse, of sex trafficking of children. And so that's a suggestion. Thank you, Don, for bringing that up. And I appreciate that. I did see that you had sent me that information on that post. And it's also so disturbing and a little triggering as well, right? When we hear the news, we're happy that the intervention happened. And I wanted to know if Annie had any comments or suggestions regarding a topic, or if discussing current events is something that it was of interest.
Something that I've been working on myself is how the survivor deals with money. I think it's a problem for me. I don't know if it is for other people.
I think that's a interesting topic because some of us as children and in our lives did experience financial maltreatment, which would, you know, be a topic of discussion. And lead to kind of some of the current, right, our current situation with, in terms of monetarily.
Right.
And so I do appreciate you bringing that up as well. Of course, it's a 90-minute show, and we have plenty of time to discuss everything. I do know that Tamika is greeting on the back line, so this may be our guest as well, but I think it's always,
right.
We have so many different things to talk about regarding this issue.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, with Annie's situation, with what she's saying, is that I tell you about everyone that I've ever known, Annie, has had difficulty.
Yeah.
Okay. About everyone.
Yeah.
I can't even think of one that didn't, to be honest with you. You know, now that raises a very good, interesting point because I know that I have no means were, and I've been homeless. I mean, I'm going to lie to you, you know, and no money, living far away. You know, things like that. So there's a lot of people that's a very good point. And it's true, Penelope, what she said was that, you know, the experiencing that financial hardship you know, was never even a choice for us in a lot of ways. You know, it's like we weren't given that opportunities because of things that happened to us affected us so bad that, you know, the trauma and the trigger of it alone, you know, affected the way that we lived our lives. No question about it. No question.
So, well, thank you. And so Tamika is back on with us, and I know that we have another caller who has called in, and we just wish to thank you. I know you're in listen-only mode. I know that you're calling in maybe for the first time, and so I just want to say we'll respect your privacy to listen only, and, you know, and just say we appreciate you calling in and taking that step to call in and be a member of the panel, and, you know, all are welcome here to join in and call and be a member of the panel, whether you wish to only listen in or also participate actively by being a panel member. So I just wanted to acknowledge that you called, and we certainly appreciate it. So I wanted to just bring Tamika up to date. So we actually have two topics that have been brought up, and I think we have enough time to discuss them both. One is just on current events and awareness of child sex trafficking and child abuse that is awareness made through the news and social media, and also how adult survivors monetarily, how the management of money and finances in our lives, adult survivors, how that perhaps some of that maltreatment has, and some of it can be financial abuse, has affected us as adults today in the present time. So I think that these are some great topics that have been brought up, and I think that we can cover them both. So unless Tamika has another topic that she wanted to bring to the table, to the forefront for discussion
No, Penelope. I was going to talk about identity, but I think you guys will cover it with what we're talking about, is basically once you've gone through something like that, how do you regain your identity, how you're affected by it. But I think we'll probably cover it in the talk, in one of the one, if not both, discussions. Yes.
Right. Okay. We will. Well, wonderful. So I did want to start. I'll go down, even though we're open mic, I will go down the panel as we just all contribute to this conversation. And so John had brought a current event and a current just, you know, news story that hit the news today of a six-year-old girl who was being trafficked, a six-year-old. Her perpetrators were caught. And so this has been reported and been on the news. And so I wanted to, you know, there's a number of issues, I think, around just being aware and having these types of stories into the news and into our lives. One is, obviously, it brings about the awareness of the fact that child abuse is prevalent and it is out there, and it is a huge issue. And I think every time it's reported on, it brings the awareness to the forefront, which I think is a good thing. But I also think that it can be triggering for some of us in the middle of our day to be trying to go about our work life or our daily lives, and also to then hear about a story like this, and I, you know, there also can be triggers that are involved. So, you know, I think it's a good thing to bring, a topic to bring up for discussion, because it's multifaceted. And Annie, I didn't know if you had any thoughts, or I'm inviting you into the conversation regarding not only the fact that we know it happens. We already know it happens. I mean, we know it's so prevalent. We know it's a pandemic problem around the world, and it hasn't for a very long time. So the fact that it occurs, and how often it occurs, and the incidence and prevalence is not the issue. It's really the awareness of it. So I just wanted to invite Danny into the conversation. I didn't know if you had anything that you wanted to discuss regarding that issue.
About the awareness going on about child abuse? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah. And actually, I tell you, Penelope, if I can do this, I have a story right here in front of me. And I tell you what, if I could read some of the story, I think it would clear up more of what we're talking about regarding this situation.
Okay.
And then because I'm reading it directly from the news itself is that I think everybody could get a better picture of what I'm talking about, okay? So let me read this real quick, and then and that way I'll be done, and the rest of you, you know, could add to what you think about what's going on right here, because it's a pretty gruesome thing, okay? Y'all okay with that?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there were two men in Arkansas, okay, and they confessed to raping a six-year-old girl after a hospital, okay, found she was suffering from multiple sexual transmitted diseases, okay? Two guys, 27 and 33, they admitted, okay, in a federal hearing that they had sexual contact with a little girl and were involved in sex trafficking her, okay? So they pleaded guilty and so forth. And then just to let you know what went on from there was that the FBI investigators said that they raped her in a hotel room. They did the blood and urine samples of the two men, showed up positive for the same, okay? And then the investigators also located the hotel in Little Rock, Arkansas, where the offenses occurred based on descriptions provided by the victim, okay, now, including a curtain and a specific picture hanging on the wall. So, you know, that's basically, and not only that, the hotel financial record, so to speak, said that the mother, okay, the girl's mother paid for that night, that room. And then she lost custody of the child, okay? But she used her credit card to pay for that room. Yep. So, you know, then it just goes on to talk about the horrific crimes, but it doesn't say anything about the mother except for the fact that she had lost, you know, her child earlier. But that's it. You know, so I'll just leave it at that because that's the story that I'm bringing up. And it has so much to do with what NASC is all about because of the trafficking, the sexual abuse, trauma, the whole nine yards. So if that would clear that up a little bit for everyone, you know, just to maybe, you know, get your thoughts behind, you know, what's going on with that for education reasons for people, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, thanks for giving. I mean, now we have more information, and I'm sitting here as I hear the story in a little bit more detail, thinking, okay, so I'm an adult survivor of child abuse, and I hear about a story of this nature. How do I take that story as an activist, and how do I increase prevention? How do I take that story and help derive from that story to help with intervention? Because we know it's hard and difficult. And I'll let you know, John, I have a really hard time hearing that story personally.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
It's unspeakable, right? It's a heinous, unspeakable, heinous crime against a child. But how do I take this now to help with intervention? As an ambassador for the state of Washington, so how do I take this and help to in our mission and our cause, you know, with prevention and intervention and recovery services? And this is for adults who have child abuse, because we don't work directly with children. But how do I take this and help with the mission of NASCA? And that's what I'm thinking about. Because taking action helps me to know that, as painful as it is to hear this story and how upset I feel over the injustice at a visceral level, it's very triggering. But taking action and knowing what I can do from hearing the story gives me hope that we may not be able to save everyone, but we can take a step. We can do something. And so that's what I'm trying to get out of your story, the story.
Yeah.
How can I do this? And become an activist with this information. And so that's my question that I'd like to pose to everyone.
And just to say something with the way that you end all your shows, that reminds me of this situation. Somebody had to see something tonight, you know. I mean, somebody, you know, and they did not recognize, they did not say something. There's more to the story, of course, you know. But that's perfect. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but if Annie or Tamika, if you'd like to, you know, join in and contribute to just this part of the conversation and the nature of the question that I posed, please feel free.
This is Annie speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I have something in answer to how can I use this story to help us in our goal of ending child abuse. I wanted to say that this story made me feel so much anger.
Yeah.
That anger is there for me to use. And I'm so angry. How can I not use this anger to help? And I do help in some ways. One of the things I like to do is post stories about child abuse from all over the world on my, my social media. That's one of the things that I do. And that lets me get a little bit of my anger out. But I'd like to know more about this story, and especially the mother. They're not going to let her have the child back or anything like that.
No way. No way. I don't think that would even be feasible in life. I have questions on that end too, Annie. They don't even mention her except for the fact she paid for the room, you know, which tells me a lot, you know. But also at the same time, it makes you wonder, you know, about her too, you know, more on the other side. Why did she make that decision? Was it money? Was it drugs? You know, maybe she was abused and maybe she was just so out of it that, you know, she just wanted to just give it up and go, you know. So I don't know. But I agree with you on the anger part. That's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe the...
Oh, go ahead, Annie. Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, that maybe the perpetrator stole that credit card and used it.
And that's what I was going to get into, is that we have to, I think it's you have to be careful. We have to be careful. I have to be careful as far as speculation because, you know, with a credit card, anybody can use a credit card. We've seen so many stories. People can hold people at gunpoint. You know, our imagination can go wild. And so we have to base it on what we know and try to, you know, because we don't know the mother. We don't know the child. We don't know all the circumstances that took place. So we have to be careful about that. And I think keeping it to what we know, how can we further the mission of NAFTA? How can we further our individual mission to raising awareness, education, empowering, you know, keeping it more positive, because there's so much negative stuff out there, and we know our imaginations, we could start really, you know, honing in, and we want to stick to what it is that we're here to do. And so for me, I think for me, it justifies the importance of continuing to talk about this, to raise awareness, because unfortunately, and here's the thing. If you think about something in your life where maybe someone was trying to tell you something or something happened and your attention was not there, it's so easy to overlook stuff. When we say that, you know, things are going on and we don't know what other people are going through, neighbors, and it doesn't excuse them, but I think it's just a matter of understanding, say, hey, I know life gets busy, but we have to keep our eyes open. We have to. This is something that is happening. And I think once when you do that and you talk about it in more of awareness mode, we're not trying to point fingers, but we want you to be aware this is a global issue. And unfortunately, some people, I even till this day, for someone who has gone through it, you know, I still hope for the best in people. And I've been mm-hmm. through it, and it's still shocked when I hear stories, because I feel like it doesn't make sense. You know, and often we try to make sense out of nonsense. It doesn't make sense. And so I think the thing is even for me, raising awareness, this is still an issue. This is still a problem. How can we help? We can help by talking about it, by bringing, you know, what's happening in the news. And people are like, oh, my gosh, that happened right down the street from me. I need to pay attention, because maybe there's some other child that has been involved in that. So I think we need to just still focus on the awareness quotient and education. Yeah. Like Annie said, sharing stories, because when I saw that, John, I didn't even hear about it. And when I quickly went to the internet and I saw it, and it's still like culture shock. It still shocked me.
Yeah,
because
it
doesn't make sense to me why someone mm-hmm. would do that. And so for a lot of people, it doesn't make sense. So they're not even thinking about it, because it doesn't make sense. And people that have been through it, the survivors, they don't even want to think about it. And so I think the continue mm-hmm. of talking about it is like, okay, this is happening, you guys. I know it's happening. It probably did happen to you, but we need to raise awareness. We need to talk about
yeah.
it. We need to address it, because the more light
yeah.
you shine in the darkness, the more the darkness turns into light, right? The more the sun comes up, rises, we're helping to rid of that darkness. So the more we talk about it, the more we can hopefully raise that attention to people that don't believe it, people that have been through it still don't believe it, people that have been through it don't want to talk about it, you know. So that's just what I wanted to add to the conversation.
Oh, I mm-hmm. love that. Thank you. And,
yeah.
Tamika, would you mind? I love that. That was absolutely, in fact, I want to add on to that. But do you mind checking in with our caller that was in listen-only mode? Because I see a hand raised. I just don't want to open up their mic if they're not comfortable coming on live. So
no,
if you wouldn't mind just checking
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'll check with them. Yeah.
Thank you. That would be awesome. But I actually just wanted to share today. I think that is absolutely profound what Tamika said, and I think it's so true. I do think it also does fall in line with what Annie said, you know, to bring awareness, whether it's through your social
mm-hmm.
media site, to these types of things, to just increase awareness. And I think what you said, John, too, is that, yes, you know, our past is painful, and we don't, you know, sometimes, you know, to be reminded of our past is a trigger. But I think it is so important to also shine the light on it. And I think that hearing these things reminds us how prevalent it is, and it reminds us to keep our eyes open. And I know I say that at the end of every show, but I mean to really be mindful, to really be
mm-hmm.
aware, to really be looking for those, we talked about, symptoms and manifestations, not only in adults but in children, that are being maltreated. And to take the opportunity, you know, every single day to not only look for things and say something, or if we see something, say something, but also when the opportunity arises for us to share our testimony and our own experience, to actually take that opportunity to share, because Tamika's right, when you shine the light on it, you give others permission, right, to come out of the darkness. And today I was actually teaching, and I teach at a college, at Brooks College, and I was teaching on a subject matter where I was able to lend my experience about the verbal abuse in the home, about yelling in the home, and about how it affected me, and about how when I became more aware of the fact that yelling, I thought it was normal, wasn't normal, right, and that it hurt, and I addressed my reaction to the yelling, and then, you know, as I raised my children, made a point to stop yelling, right, knowing how it felt. But when I shared that, I was amazed. I ended up with 3 students who came to me and were able to share with me that they were being yelled at in their homes and how it made them feel. And I had a couple of them in tears. It just reminded me
mm-hmm.
the power of, you know, what Tamika said, shining that light onto the issue. Because when you speak honestly and earnestly too, you give others permission to do the same. And I think we all have opportunities when John, you talk about this a lot. We know we can't completely stop child maltreatment. I wish we could. But if we can intervene and start the healing process and help encourage people to start the healing process earlier, that's progress. That's something I've learned from you. And so today I felt I had three 19, 20-year-olds start to talk about it. And I felt hopeful that at least they were feeling comfortable to start talking about that, and that might help
mm-hmm.
them
right.
in their own.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to thank y'all for answering that, all of that, for me. And I just wanted to leave y'all with this real quick, and we can, talk about, some other things if you want. However, a while back we did a show with Nick Bryant, okay, and we were going over some average figures, okay. This is going to blow your mind. I mean, really is going to blow your mind. The average, okay. Now, we were taking averages from different countries around the world, okay, as far as, things go, with all trafficking and numbers of how many. Do you know that, we listed about 10 different countries, okay, the lowest being Australia at 20,000 a year, okay? Well, the second highest, okay, to give you an idea, is the UK with 112,000, okay, 112,000. Now, you think that's unbelievable? Wait till you hear who comes in first place, the USA, with 460,000, okay? Yes. Think about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's unbelievable yet believable. But I think I do like to say that while sometimes, when you hear the numbers, it can just feel overwhelming and discouraging. I have learned, and even today as I cited just a small example, and I know we all have these small examples too, but I learned that sometimes even a small gesture in terms of shining the light on our experience, even something that you would deem small, can have a huge impact on someone else. So never underestimate even a small, a gesture, a small step in a small action of sharing your story. It may feel small to you, but it may be huge to someone else. So I just wanted to add that as well, because I know it can be still overwhelming sometimes. But as Annie said, she takes the opportunity to spread the awareness however she can and wherever she can when she hears of something. So we've actually had our NASCA sister and ambassador Nancy Brown in Georgia join us. So welcome, Nancy. We're having an open mic forum tonight, and we have brought up two topics. The first is just current events. And current events in terms of the story today about a six-year-old girl who was had been trafficked, and her two perpetrators were apprehended, brought to justice. Unfortunately, the girl's mother was also involved in this, talked about how we can use a current event such as that to help us with our mission of intervention, prevention, recovery. And then the second topic that we're going to bring up for discussion, which is a very good one and relevant, Annie brought up, is finances and the adult survivor of child abuse, money and the adult survivor of child abuse. And so thank you for joining us, Nancy. And so as we just begin down the panel again, Annie, you had brought up just finances and money and the adult survivor, and I wanted to open it up to you as we open up the topic, share what you would like to share about that as we open up the discussion.
Sure. I just started to try and do a program that will help me keep track of my finances, because I don't keep track of them. I just pay bills having no idea whether I have enough money or not, and I'm usually pretty okay, but that's sheer luck. It's not paying attention. I don't pay any attention. And to be honest, I'm terrified of them. I'm just so afraid to look at bills and to deal with money at all. Even just thinking about money at all is a frightening experience. And I think it might stem from my parents arguing about money. I have a very vivid memory of the two of them going at it about money. And I remember, oh, we never had any money when I was a kid because there were so many of us. And until I got my own job, there wasn't an allowance or anything like that. There was just no money around. And I think I just have it in my mind that that's me. I'm a poor person who doesn't deserve any money. And I think that's my attitude inside.
Interesting that you said that, because it's that's very interesting. And I'm wondering, is there something about even the numbers, right, even actually having to do the accounting that might be triggering for you? Have you ever, I don't know, is that something that you thought they might be a trigger? Because you said you just think there's enough money there and you hope that all the expenses will be covered when you pay the bills, and usually they are, but it doesn't sound like you're really doing meticulous accounting of the numbers.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not. I can't believe I'm confessing this on the radio. I'm not keeping track of my expenses. And I'm not afraid of math, so to speak. It's money I'm afraid of. I just have an anxiety. When I think about it, I feel anxious.
Right.
And I just wonder if that's part of being a survivor, or is that just me, you know?
Well, I think there's a path. I mean, I would say that before I was married, I did the same thing. There was something about actually having to deal with those numbers and look at the numbers that was triggering. So I always tried to make sure that I made enough money to cover my expenses, and I was very conservative in my spending. But I could never bring myself to like balance the checkbook, because I was avoidant, intensely avoidant. So I think when you said that, that reminded me that I was exactly the same way. And I'm wondering if there was a trigger, you know, just for the same reasons that you mentioned. I'm interested to hear from other survivors, though. But I would say that you're not alone in that, Annie. I'm going to say I was the same way until I got married. And then I'll leave my marriage.
Thank you for sharing this.
I wouldn't even go into the marriage, because I had never experienced financial abuse until I got married. So things completely changed then. And I can share that a little bit later after we have other panelists and give them an opportunity to contribute. But I wanted to invite Tamika into the conversation about money and the adult survivor.
Yeah, you guys, when child abuse, you've heard my story. I don't know Annie. And Nancy, I don't even know John, but I was abused sexually by two male family members from the ages of 5 to 10, and held that secret. And I someone else broke the secret, but the abuser came back to me to try again, and that was the time where I found my voice, you know. And my thing was, we didn't move from, we stayed still across the street from the two family members. My thing was, I found my voice, and prevention came out of me. Some other things happened to me. But my whole thing was, I needed to live my life. That I refused to, even though I did a detour and went down my mother's path of nursing, and that's a whole other side of the story. But I felt like I needed to live my life. So, and I felt like I should hold on to my innocence, because I'm, and it felt like that I just kept living my life. I went to school. It wasn't a hiding place for me. It was a learning experience. I love learning.
And I just did the things that I had, because I felt like there were a couple of things that took place before the abuse. My family, the concept of family was, I kind of lost faith in that. Number two is that I had a lot of anger towards my dad. Number three, because of the concept of family was kind of displaced a little, I did a lot of things for myself. I saw my mother take care of three children, and she struggled, and I know some of the things she struggled for. And so pain was my greatest teacher, that because I saw people that had problems with managing their finances, I wanted to manage my finances. I had, you know, finance class in school, and I just thought that was the way to do. I felt like I had a choice to do what I want to do. I didn't feel like I should struggle because of what somebody else did. And that's my premise. That's what I stand on. And I've been there. I've taken a detour, but it was a great detour in teaching me about character building, et cetera. But I just didn't feel like I should stop living. And so I balance. I do every Friday. I look at my accounts and I just go through and I, you know, add stuff up. I balance. I know how much money I have in the bank because I don't know. I guess it just stemmed. I mean, I do know it stemmed from that I should still have a life, albeit I had, you know, still some trust issues, some self-doubt issues. But I'm like, sometimes I felt like I was, you know, going up a steep mountain, but I still felt like I should still be going and doing the things that I wanted to do. And so I managed my finances before my marriage. I'm doing it now. You know, even my kids' finances with their accounts. And financing has not been of a particular problem in keeping up with my money. I knew how much money I had in the account. I know it does make sense that when you've gone through feeling powerless, when you've gone through feeling like, you know, helpless, or as many people that go through abuse or violent, some type of violence, violent experiences, that I understand the power of that and feeling vulnerable and feeling, you know, powerless and hope and helpless. But I also understand that we still have a choice. And that's part of when we go back to the issue about child abuse, Penelope. You said that today child abuse it won't stop today. Probably it won't stop, but we can do things to encourage people to say your life is not over. You can continue to do the things you want to do. It may be a little tough, but you are worth it. And so, I just felt like I wanted to have a normal, quote unquote, normal life. I don't feel good when I look at somebody else having power over me, you know, someone else teaching me how to live my life when they could care less about probably what I'm doing, you know. And I live with that. I saw the two male family members get on with their lives, and I felt like, shoot, I should get on with my life too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that to me, it sounds like almost it was you just had. Money was, I mean, it was a vision for you to have your independence, and it was a driver
Absolutely.
For you.
It was a driver for me. I love my freedom. When that abuse happened, I love my freedom. In between the abuse, when it didn't happen, and when it finally was over with them, I was like, I felt like I had my freedom back, my body back, my life back, and now it was time for me to start making choices to keep it, to self-preservation. You know, I didn't drink. I didn't, you know, as far as alcohol, that wasn't my comforter. You know, drugs wasn't my comforter. Smoking wasn't my comforter. I just felt like I wanted to have, like I said, a quote-unquote normal life, that I should still be able to do the things that is encouraged for us to do, to cope, to pay our bills, you know, to do whatever it is. I felt like I still could do those things, and I wanted to do them. I felt like I still could have a family. I felt like I still could have a marriage and have a decent marriage, a normal marriage. So, I mean, I'm not saying nowhere is it where everything is hozy-dozy. I've had, you know, things where other mountains I've climbed, But I just want to, I feel like I just want to live and keep going. I just do.
Mm-hmm. And money gave you the freedom, making your own money gave you the freedom to do that.
Making my own money gave me the freedom because I never wanted to, because of what I went through, pain was my greatest teacher. I mean, it was. Because of what I've been through, I didn't want to rely on somebody else to take care of me or to have, or somebody to have an advantage over me because they were doing something for me. And so I because I saw what my mother went through, you know, domestic violence, et cetera, I just felt like I wanted to have, the, you know, people say the upper hand. I wanted to be able to take care of myself because I felt like I couldn't rely on people to do it for me. You know, I
yeah.
had to take care of myself.
So that was a tool more for healing. It sounds like that was more of a healing tool. It was a way for you to control something, control your money, control the money that you made. And that gave you the hope and the control to have the freedom to not be indebted, you know, and you can actually write your own story. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I don't, I definitely don't want to come across like, oh, it was all roses, but it is. We still have choices. That nobody, our, that one experience does not take your choices away from you. It does not. It happened. I can't, I knew I couldn't go back in the past. My mother, you know, taught us principles. I couldn't go back. So the only thing I could do was go forward. And so if I felt like it was something I did not know, then I tried to learn it. You know, and that's how I became, you know, easy, trying to learn stuff and picking up on stuff easy because I just felt like I could, you know, and
yep.
life is about, you know, there are some things that, you know, we can't take back, you know, when it happened in the past, there are things that happen that, you know, it's like, okay, it happened, but does it always have to continue to happen every day? Do I always have to feel powerless? Do I always have to be a victim? Do I always have to feel helpless? Do I always have to, you know, be just silent my voice? Or you know, do I always have to be that way? And the answer is no. You know, you if they encourage you, it's about educating yourself. To me, it was about educating myself about finances, learning about, you know, money and stuff. Because, like I said, you know, my mom struggled with that, and seeing her. I was like, well, shoot, I don't want to struggle like that. You know, I don't want to struggle. I need to get my degree. I need to be able to take care of my kids. I need to be able to make the money I need to make in case somebody doesn't want to act right. So that was it.
Thank you so much, because this is why I love Open Forum Nights, because, you know, we bring these things up, you know, and we share our experiences and maybe some of the insights behind, you know, why we were motivated to do certain things. And actually, this is Annie. I don't want to speak for you, so think about this when I come back to you on the next round of the panel, but I'm almost wondering, for me not to balance a checklist, just to, like, write checks and hope that, you know, and pretty much assume that, you know, everything would be okay and that I wouldn't balance a check because I was living within my means, I almost wonder if that was a way for me to actually express my own personal authority. It was almost a tool to freedom because my parents would have expected, hounded, you know, beaten into me to do it a methodical way, you know, by writing all the numbers down and having an appropriate accounting. In fact, my mother was an accounting teacher. But almost in a way, and I don't know, Annie, like I'm only speaking for myself, maybe the fact that I rebelled against doing it that way was me just saying, listen, I'm free now to do it the way that I want to because I'm out of this, you know, abusive family of origin home. And it was my way of saying, this is my freedom and this is the way I'm going to do it. So maybe that's the reason that Annie and I are in the same boat about, I think, about how we handled our finances. So I didn't even think about any, but I think that sparked that thought in me to make as you were sharing. So, John, are you okay if I skip over you real quick? Because I do want to just bring Nancy on since she's joined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that okay? And I'll come back to you.
Please go ahead.
Is that
Hi.
You, Nancy?
How's everybody? Hi.
How
are you?
How are you doing? Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you guys. Could you guys hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my dog's starting to do a little baby bark, so I'm like, oh, gosh. so I did, you know, I tuned in. I didn't get to hear everything that was going on, but I did get to hear a lot about the importance of freedom and, you know, just owning your freedom, that you're not allowing the enemy to be in control, the monster in your closet to be in control. You're releasing that power and you're taking control. Like, you had the power then, yeah, this happened, but I'm owning my power and I'm moving forward and I'm walking in my healing, even if it's not perfect, but I'm walking in it. I have that much power. And just that alone is just so powerful, you know? So we've all been through failures. We've all made mistakes, but in the process of healing, we deserve to walk in our freedom. And that's the only way we're going to continue to heal. So taking control of your finances, taking control of, you know, your words of who you are, speaking your heart, all of that is part of healing and it's very important. Breathe and to be genuine. I think for me, it's more of that transparency, being genuine. As a survivor of abuse, suicide prevention, I say to myself, you know, like on the, what's today? All right, so on the 27th of 2020, one of my sisters passed away by way of suicide, okay? Mm-hmm. So right now I'm trying to figure out, like, what was she going through right now? What was she feeling, mm-hmm. like, the day before? I was going through that. What was she feeling today? Because I felt that. But I was like, dang, you know, imagine what it's like to really feel it to the point that you feel so alone that you can't talk to anybody. Nobody will understand.
Mm.
And she would talk about God. So God was trying to reach out to her. But the other voice was getting louder, depression and everything she was dealing with. So just being just aware that it's important for us to be here for each other. This community is important, is needed, and we just got to continue standing together and trying to be the best version of ourselves, of who we were created to be originally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for adding that. And I just think, you know, if I hear that too, I mean, I can't even imagine the pain of, you know, losing a sister, losing your sister. And I know as survivors, we do feel empathy, you know, and we do feel, we felt mm-hmm. pain and we know what that feels like. And so that's just so hard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So hard. And I do appreciate you sharing that. I just can't imagine how hard that would be, because we're talking about money too, and just, you know, handling money and finances as a survivor. And you know, one of the other things that came to mind as you mentioned that was, you know, I don't think money, how much money you have when you're in pain, you know, when you're in pain from the effects,
right.
when you're, right, when you don't have that hope. And that's what we talk about, hope and healing, you know, to bring us, to Mika says so, you know, eloquently, you know, to shine the light in the darkness. Money doesn't help. It doesn't matter. For me, it didn't. Having money growing up, I grew up in a household that we were very comfortable. It didn't matter because money didn't buy the things that I had never had that I so desperately wanted. And that was to be safe and to be secure and to not live every day in fear. And those were the things that no matter how much money or the status and the appearance of money, those were the things that money didn't matter, right?
Right.
So we had a caller join us. I think that might be Carol. But it's area code 908. So I may have Tamika just greet her on the back line and just, that one's changed.
Hello?
Sorry. Someone is putting me on the back line for some reason. That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. That's not me.
That's right. Sorry. Just wanted to invite you to the conversation. Oh, John. No, I know it's not you.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you what, Annie, you and I, mirror image. You hear me? I'm the same way. Exactly. The way you described it, I've always been that way. But I do have a lot to say about it, though, okay? Because money scares me, number one. Secondly, money what didn't exist, okay, I would be a billionaire, okay? It's what I've always told people, you know? It's because I have lived on that edge of surviving, okay, since I've been a small boy, okay? And I've seen what money can do to people on both sides, you know, of the table. In other words, I've seen, you know, hardship out of having good money, and I've seen, you know, wonderful things happen from it. But with me, money isn't everything, and I really I don't like it, to be honest. You know, if we didn't need it, my life is already wonderful as it is. I would be so fortunate because every time that I do get money, I want to give it away. I don't know why. I just love helping people, even if I struggle. You know, I lived in a place for 15 years by myself. And like y'all were talking about, especially with Tamika and Nancy and everything, you know, I had to grow up at some point. So I moved away, became self-employed, started my own business when I was 24, okay, and remained self-employed for the next 35 years. Because I didn't like people telling me what to do. I had a problem, you know, with that, you know, getting into that groove of the educational side of things, because my education was taken from me, period. You know, I never had a chance at all. But I learned other ways to help myself, okay, out of being in financial hardship, because I've been in it all my life, and I'm never going to be rich, you know, and even if I am, you know what? I'm still going to be the same person, you know, because here's my thing, is that if there's somebody out here, okay, that is struggling really, really bad, all right, and I know that I have a little bit to give, and I know personally, I do this for people all the time, you know, and I have a problem with it. I'll admit it, you know, I do it too much, you know, but on the other hand, it makes me happy, okay, and yes, I've suffered from doing that on my own, just because I made that decision, okay? So I'll just leave it at that, you know, to answer, you know, Andy's question on that. But I do want to leave you all with this, though, is that this time of year, and the same thing, you know, that Nancy was talking about, there is a lot of serious issues coming down to financial situations in the household, which does affect people, depresses people, and everything else. So, you know, with anyone listening out there, I do want to add this, is that we are here for you, and we have been there. And look, you know, we're always a phone call away, always, you know. So please pick the phone up if you need, okay?
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. That's right. Pick up the phone. Absolutely, because like you said, you can be a gazillionaire walking around your mansion and still feel that pain and need to talk to someone. And that's where money is really, that's where the connection is. You can't put a price on the connection that is so healing for survivors, that connection of contact. And direct address.
You know, and I'll say this one more time, and I'll leave it at that, is that I know for a fact, and I'm not just bragging on this, I do this for a living every single day, and I can tell you that I have helped save lives, okay? And you know what? I can care less about the dollar in the bank. If I can help and continue to help saving lives, I will always do that. And that's where I get my money from right there. And that's it for me. I'm out.
That's a good thought. I can attest to that. Absolutely, I can. I think there's some, young guitar owners out there that can thank you for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to actually bring on Carol, our Vice President NASCA from New Jersey. Carol, welcome to the panel this evening. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. I understand that Cindy didn't show.
No.
Is that...
But, you know, we're having a nice open mic forum tonight. We're talking about a couple different issues.
I know that, honey. But I see I'm, I get the guests. So when the guests don't show, then I spoke to her 2 days ago. So I just want to say something. People, as vice president, okay, of NASCA, we work our butts off, okay? We absolutely do, all of us. We're all very dedicated, and we're here to help you. I'm the night owl, and I get many, many phone calls, sometimes too many. That's all right. I put myself in that position. But when we have guests to come on, we look forward to you coming on. Now, maybe something happened. And, you know, I have to tell you guys something. I've been doing this for almost 12 years now. This summer it'll be 12 years, not even the summer. It's the spring. Once in a while, someone, you know, just simply can't handle telling their story, and that can happen. They think they're ready, and they're not. So, Cindy, if you're listening, I don't want you to feel bad. But we do ask, you know, when we have our guests that I have Monday through Friday scheduled. But if you feel like you can't, you're not up to it, okay? If you're not up to it, please do let us know, okay? Because we go through hell trying to help people on this show. So we have guests that come on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we have this open platform for you to tell your story. And we have two men that are coming on this week. I'm really happy about that because December is actually the month that we, I don't want to use the word celebrate, okay, but what we do is we bring forth awareness that boys get abused too, all right? They absolutely do. In fact, it's 1 in 4 girls. Actually, they say 1 in 3 now. And 1 in probably 5 or 6 boys that get abused before the age of 18. So it takes guys a longer time, many times, to talk about it because they have to be so tough and rough and tumbly and all this other stuff. And they're supposed to suck it up and you'll get over it and all the typical, you know, things that you hear. But the truth of the matter is that boys absolutely and men absolutely need a place to go to. So we have this open platform, you know, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I'm doing the best that I can to get as many men to come on because it's so, so, so important, Penelope, okay, that men, you know, open up their mouths, speak, because, you know, it's important. It absolutely is important. It's just as important as a woman coming on, and that's the way it goes. John, what are you doing? Are you dancing? Are you dancing? I want to see you dance.
Who?
He's making noises. I want to know if he's dancing.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
No, I'm not making any noises.
No,
that's somebody else.
Well, who's making the noises?
No, I don't know. It's somebody else. It's not me.
Oh, okay. So you're not dancing. Okay.
No, I'm not dancing at all. No. Mm-mm.
No.
You know, I really do appreciate that you bringing that up because, you know, it is a lot of hard work that
mm-hmm.
you put in. So I know, and I know Annie's helping out now too, and a lot of us have helped out trying to get special guests, but it is a lot of work. And
mm-hmm.
it's not that it's a hard time finding guests, but it's just the coordination. It's getting all the pieces together to put their bios together and get the show set up for the right night. And it also, if someone, you know, isn't quite ready, it's nice to know in advance because as hosts, we also do our research on the guests to prepare, right, appropriately so we can serve them well. And there's so many people that actually would love to have a platform to come on and be able to tell their story, that someone else could have had the opportunity to experience that. So we do, I appreciate you bringing that up, Carol. We do ask that if you don't need to explain why, if you find you can't tell your story, but, you know, you don't need to feel badly or feel defensive, but a heads up would be appreciated because of all the work that goes into it.
Right, absolutely. I think it's important for people to know that organizations, all right, not just NASCAR, but we out here, okay, who are survivors, have walked the same walk and talked the same talk because we can, that when we, you know, have an organization, we understand fear. We get it. We've been there. We understand, you know, that it takes an awful lot of guts to tell your story. And sometimes it's happened, I've been here, remember, almost 12 years now, come this spring, early summer, it'll be 12 years. And there has been a couple of times where, you know, people just couldn't do it. And that's okay. It's okay. When you're ready to do it, you'll do it. So there's no pressure, you know, from NASCAR. But as organizations, yes, we do, you know, put in a lot of time in preparation, you know, for people to come on and tell their stories. And, you know, I've had so many people send emails, and not just to me, to Bill also, where they said afterwards they were so happy to be able to have a place to come and open up where people understood them. And, you know, we're not on TV, so we can't see you, you know. So, you know, and people, if you can talk on the phone, all right, you can talk here, all right. It's the same thing. It's an easy show to do, in a sense, if you think about it. But your mental stability has to be together enough. And then there's sometimes people, Penelope, they're afraid they're going to break down and cry. And we understand that, too. You know, that does absolutely happen because at times, because it is something, you know, to be sad about. But once you get on your healing journey, as we call it, you know, each step is a new day. Each day is a new step. And sometimes you go forward four steps and sometimes back two steps. And you just keep, you know, moving on and doing what you have to do and reaching out when you need help. We're here 24/7. 24/7 we're here. Go ahead.
You know, I cried, you know, when I told my story to you. I cried when I told my story to Penelope. Look, you know what? I'm a man. And I felt great after because I just needed to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No, there isn't. I wish I could cry. I can cry if I have to put a pet down. And I think I'm getting close with my cat, and it's breaking my heart. This cat was being stoned outside by kids. Wonder what kind of homes they came from. Okay. And my husband, before he passed away, he did bring the cat in. He was able to get her, and she's been my cat ever since. And so this is heartbreaking because I live with my cat, and my cat lives with me. Okay? So, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, I can cry at times like that. And sometimes when someone dies in the family, I might be able to cry once. But with all the things that have happened to me, and I'm not unique, many people have had disgusting, horrible stories, I can't cry for me. I don't know if I've gotten past that or what it is. But, you know, that happened a long time ago, and I've learned how to deal with the, you know, triggers and all this other stuff. You learn this as you go along on your healing journey. You just simply do. The last time I got triggered, I was in a store, and I was talking to this lady, and she had a little girl. And I looked at the girl, and I said to the lady, I said, how old is she? And she said, well, she's 6 years old. And all of a sudden, bang, it hit me. Just like the trigger just was so big and so bad. Because I was 6 years old when my sexual abuse started. And I was looking at that little girl, and I thought, my God, she's so small, her height. You know what I'm saying? And like I never considered myself a kid because I wasn't allowed to be a kid. We're not allowed to be children many times. We're too busy trying to survive, and we're growing ourselves up. But I forgot what a six-year-old looked like, okay, so small. And so I left the store and pretty soon thereafter. And so, you know, even though I'm so far along in my healing journey, you can still, you know, at times get triggered. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. But it's how you handle it. And I can honestly say that the longer you're on your healing journey, and the more you reach out and the more we speak about it, the more we, you know, learn about it. I do a tremendous amount of research work, and I bring it forward to the show. Had to go to school, too. I didn't like that. Had my flask in my back pocket because I was still having panic attacks until, my God, I had it from 40 years. 40 years of panic attacks. That's ridiculous. But if I wanted to keep my jobs, I had to go to school. I had to get more schooling. And they paid for it. I didn't. So I went. But the point is this. We, as we go along, we get stronger. We do. And so I had no longer have panic attacks, and I no longer, you know, have any, I don't have nightmares anymore. I don't have flashbacks. Yes, I can look back at the past. We all can and get sad. That's normal. But we can't let it bring us down. Now, this is the time of the year where many people who haven't even been abused can and be depressed. It can be, yes, I overheard a little bit, money situations, okay? I came from a very, very wealthy family. It didn't do me any good because I wasn't supposed to be, okay?
Oh, and we were actually talking about that. That was one of the topics this evening was money,
mm-hmm.
money and the adult survivor of child abuse and how
mm-hmm.
you manage to deal with money. You know, just money and the adult survivor of child abuse. So didn't mean to interject, but that was one of the topics we were discussing this evening.
Well, you see, money is hard for everybody. Well, not unless you're very wealthy right now. Hey, I married poor. I didn't marry wealthy. I married poor. Today, I'm comfortable. That's what I am. And I'm thankful for that. Have I been rich before? My family was, yes. But you see, if you come from a dysfunctional home, it doesn't matter if they're rich or if they're middle class, if you want to call it middle class, I don't know, maybe that's what I am, or if you're poor, okay, dysfunction is dysfunction. And what people are going through now, today, with the world that we live in, with all the problems in the world, that's very, very depressing. And if they don't have money, if they don't have a job, And they are survivors just like we are. You know, they're still walking, so they're still survivors. But, yes, that can bring people down. And sometimes they can, if they're alcoholic, drug addicts, whatever, they can go back to doing that. I have one right now I'm working with that's gone backwards. And that's a shame. But, you know, all we can do is support people. Absolutely. And people have to change themselves, too, Penelope, you know. Yes, it can be a very depressing time of the year. And, again, with what's going on, I came down my block before, and people are already decorated their houses. This is the first year that it's so early that it's decorated. Some feel like it's our last, could be our last Christmas. That's why some of them are doing it. Yes, I'm going to decorate my house, of course. My daughter's going to help me. And but you see, we have all these things in our head. And then so with the world that we live in, and then also, too, those who are not as far along on their healing journey, who are still in that rut, you know, of trying to heal their wounds, it can cause chaos in a person's life. And if money is a problem, that just adds to it. Absolutely.
And, well, you know, and interestingly, and I'm going to open up the panel one more time because we've got 15 minutes left. So I want to have everybody have an opportunity to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I have noticed as well is that there's almost the choices that I make on how to spend money and how to invest or not to invest, mm-hmm. I think have been an interesting part of my own healing. And just say a little something about, I don't know, I've gotten to know myself a little bit better by the way that I choose to spend money. So, for example, since I started on the healing journey, I will only buy clothes that have been previously loved. I will only buy clothes from the Goodwill. I will only buy clothes from consignment stores. I like to buy clothes that I like the way they look, but that are very inexpensive, mm-hmm. like $15 for a dress. And I feel like part of that is part of the healing journey, and that I felt of no value to my parents. I felt of little value. I was treated as though I had no value. And so I think for me, being able to go out and make a choice on how I spend money and finding value in something that someone has almost thrown away. It hasn't been the garbage, it's the Goodwill. You know, finding it, saving it, bringing it home, wearing it and loving it, for me, has helped me in the healing process to reclaim something that someone basically got rid of without a second thought and really felt that there was barely any value left, but they would just give it to the Goodwill. So that's just a little something for me that if I look at the psychology behind why I will only buy, you know, a dress to a holiday party, not that I go to that many. Maybe I'm going to one this year, if that. I know people don't really have them anymore because of COVID. But that has been actually for me, that's given me hope. It's just been a light that I've shined, you know, in those choices on how to spend money on that type of, those types of items. So, and I feel good about it. I feel good about rescuing something that someone has basically tossed and found of little value. So I want to invite Annie into the conversation one more time to join us if she would like. It's up to you, Annie, but I wanted to give you one more opportunity to interact with the panel.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the comment about feeling that I have no value and I can't spend money on myself, and that's why I always, I never bought clothes. I went to the Goodwill and got my clothes. And it really truly was because I could not spend money on myself. And I know I got those feelings from my mother, because a few months before she died, she showed me these shoes she bought, and she said, I know I shouldn't have bought them, but they're probably the last shoes I'll ever buy. And I know that attitude, I shouldn't have bought it for myself, you know, I don't deserve to have it. That's where I got it from.
I can relate to that as well. The guilt, feeling guilty over spending money on oneself, because you don't feel like you deserve it. The guilt feeling. Thank you for sharing that. And Tanika, I wanted to invite you in the conversation as we go to the last round of the panel.
Absolutely. Thanks, Penelope. You know, I grew up, and many would say that we were poor, my family, but I grew up feeling like we had everything we needed. I grew up feeling like that things could have been worse, given my mother was a single parent now, leaving an abusive marriage. And we shopped the Goodwill secondhand stores, but I saw it as no one would have the clothes that I wore. I saw it as being unique. I saw it as an opportunity to be creative. You know, we used the heel of a shoe for a hammer. So, and my mom would tell us that, and she lived that, you know, get what you want. And I was one that, you know, I went back to, I was like, well, many people back in the day only had one pair of shoes. So there was a time where, you know, people would say I was frugal because I was like, you know, I don't need all that stuff, because I grew up with less but I felt like I had more. I felt like, again, I had my life. I had what I wanted. And so my husband, we were just talking about that, you know, and he was saying, my brother was like, you know, you got to look at, Tamika has to look at and see how much it costs, you know, before she sit around there and beg it and to buy it. And there's another thing, you know, I grew up poor. We had less, but I felt like we had more. My mom telling me, you know, get what you want. So occasionally I will splurge on stuff, but I try to get the best cost for something. I'm one that looks at coupons. You know, I'm not a coupon clipper. I don't, you know, I try to do it. I can't do it. I just can't do that. I go online, look for coupons. But my mom told us that, you know, get what you want. So I try to have an equal balance. The last thing I wanted to say was, I feel like, you know, God has blessed me with money. And I feel like I try to be a good steward of what I have. And so, you know, of course I look for bargains. I look for the best way to buy something. If I can't buy it that way, then I just go for it with faith and say, okay, I'm going to purchase something that's $249 put together dresser for my daughter versus something that is, you know, $179, and then I have to put it together because I don't want to go through that. So there are times when I do that. But I feel like I want to be a good steward of what I have because I know what it's like to not have it. But yet still, I try to use it towards its benefit, you know. And I don't really shop at Goodwill. My husband, we may occasionally go there, but I try to at least when I do go to the store, you know, to see if it's a good bargain, you know, if I can get it somewhere else for a lower price. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of also being responsible, like almost being measured. And I think a lot of us wish we had measure growing up, right? More measured, you know, discerning, thoughtful versus volatile. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
John,
Is there someone else? I'm in the living room, so I don't have the panel in front of me.
I have John to bring on and then Nancy to bring on, and we've got about 7 minutes left. So,
oh, my God. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John, I think I'll invite you back into the conversation.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to say, too, that, you know, that's so much good advice that y'all are putting out there tonight. And everyone, you know, that does talk about these situations this time of year with survivors, especially because of the fact, you know, you have Christmas coming up and there's all so much activity going on that, you know, smart decisions are always probably the best bet, you know, to do. But, you know, also, with being a survivor, you know, a lot of people out there, I want you to listen to me carefully because I have been there so many times. There are so many things in life that you can do to distract away from, you know, feeling down about the financial situations, you know, by you know, getting involved with other things that you haven't gotten involved with before, you know. The other thing is that, you know, be grateful for how far you've come, because we know it's a long road for everyone, and that you know that we have people here, and you're not the only one out there, you know, that's struggling with anything to do with this, because there's a lot of us out there, believe me, and that there's a lot of things that you can do, you know, to look forward to and be thankful for what you have. That's one of the main things. But, you know, think of all the positive things, you know, that you've endured. Keep it going. You know, whenever you need, you know, something, is that, yes, you know, for a survivor, there are people here, and there are a lot of people out here that have a lot of empathy, you know, for your situation. So just know that you're not alone and that, you know, we always look forward to hearing it from anyone that's out there, especially this time of year if you're having difficulties, you know, and we always talk about the call-in number here, and we can always give that out any time, but I want you to know that, you know, we have a tremendous amount of experience here at NASCA and many platforms, you know, that people can look at and find help. And, in fact, I know that there's six of us on here right now, and there's many more behind that. And so I just want to leave y'all with that and try to stay positive.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you for saying that.
appreciated. So true.
Nancy, I wanted to invite you back in one last time. We've got a couple of minutes left. To just join in, and if you wish to add to the discussion or say anything before I sign off.
Yes. Just wanted to say thank you, everybody, for coming together tonight and for all that you do and for your time, you know, for volunteering your time. One thing that kept sticking out for me was progress, not perfection. We can't beat ourselves up, because as long as we're trying to make some progress, that's really what matters. Progress itself is a very painful process to go through. And, you know, as long as you continue to try, that's all that matters. We're valuable. And the fact that you're taking control of your finances, your life, your choices, those are like big steps that are all part of our healing. So, you know, just continue to do that. And with the holidays and everything right now, you know, a lot of people are dealing with the loss of loved ones suddenly, with COVID, everything going on. There's different things going on with the holidays and all of that. You know, people get in that spirit because they're trying to be jolly. But when you have that space in your heart, that empty space, you really feel very heavy and very burdened. But again, just want to tell, you know, this team, this group of angels that are out here serving, thank you again for being a listening ear. And I remember the first time I told my true story was on this show, and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I cried like a baby, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back to tell my story, I had gained strength, right? And and it makes it easier to help other people. But you have to go through the process, and it's uncomfortable, but it's going to be worth it.
Oh, Nancy, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I'm glad that you had that experience the first time you came on the show. Not of crying, although crying can be cathartic and good, but just the fact that that platform helped you in your healing journey and how much it helped you and the impact that it made. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I can resonate with that. And I think for those that are listening in that might be contemplating coming on and telling their story for the first time, that's really important to hear your message. I just wish to thank you for sharing that.
You're
welcome. Truly. So I've got 2 minutes
thank
left.
You for having
Cheryl,
me.
I'm going to give you a minute of it. I appreciate you calling in. And even if you're in the waiting room, I know you just make math such a priority, and I appreciate that so much. So I'm going to give you a minute.
That's okay. That's quite all right. I'm just thankful that you guys did a good job tonight, absolutely. And I'm thankful that we were able to get this together. You were able to get it together. Thank you so much. It's a rough time of the year. And, as far as what you were saying quickly, I'll just simply say, when you learn to love yourself a little bit more, when people learn to love themselves, they won't feel guilty if they have the money and it's in their budget to buy a little something, you know, pretty for themselves. It's all about learning to love ourselves, too, because we were told so often that we weren't loved, so many of us. So that's
right.
A part of the healing journey. And, Nancy, were you the one? I think I interviewed you, didn't I, that night when you came on? I think you were on.
Yes. A few
and
days
you know
ago.
What?
Yes.
You did a fine job. Yes, you did. You did a fine job.
Thank you.
So don't
so
feel
much.
Funny about, you know, crying, because you did a darn good job. I remember that. Yes, you did.
Well, that's
thank you so much.
You did good. Yeah.
Well, I've got 30 seconds left. I just want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Carol, our Vice President of Master from New Jersey. Annie, Marges, thank you so much, Annie. And Tamika, my co-host, she's amazing. Thank you, Tamika, really, truly amazing. John, Master Brother, co-host of the show, thank you. Nancy Brown, our NASA Ambassador from Georgia, thank you so much for coming on. You know, the first time I did a show, a special guest, the guests didn't show up, I was freaking out. Tonight, I've got my village, it takes the village. I appreciate you all, and it was a great show. So thank you so much. And as I end the show, as I always do, it is all of our responsibility as adults to keep our children safe. If you see something, say something, take action, do something. Thank you and good night.
Good night, everybody. Another tomorrow. Cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done. Blog Talk Radio.